Today's second lesson may be found in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 8, verses 5 through 13. Hear the word of the Lord. When Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, appealing to him, and saying, "Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed in terrible distress." And he said to him, "I will come and cure him." The centurion answered, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only speak the word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my slave, do this, and the slave does it." When Jesus heard him, he was amazed and said to those who followed him, "Truly I tell you, in no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and west and will sit with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the heirs of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And to the centurion Jesus said, "Go, let it be done for you according to your faith." And the servant was healed in that hour. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Melt us, mold us, fill us, use us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us, we pray. Amen. Have you noticed that some people pull rank wherever they go? You've met them, I'm sure. They push their way to the front of the line at the after-Christmas sales down at the mall. They insist on preferential treatment in restaurants. There are celebrities who think they can act any way they please out in public and not be called to account for it, because after all, they are who they are. They are people of fame. They are people of fortune. Perhaps you read of the rock star who last week attacked a rival at a concert in Detroit, beat him up, simply because the other one had criticized his latest CD. And then he was shocked and surprised that he would be arrested and arraigned and taken to prison. How could this happen to him? He was a man of great fame. The Wayne County prosecutor said, "Far too often celebrities think the law does not apply to them, and so they pull rank wherever they go." Some people even attempt to pull rank with God. They imagine that their piety or their position in the church or in society should make them free of all difficulty and danger. And then when things don't go their way, they wonder why God has not protected them. After all, are they not people of great stature? The Capernaum centurion is not one of them. He had the authority to make demands, had he cared to, because he was a high-ranking officer in the Roman military, and Rome was mistress of the world. Because he was a centurion, he could move to the head of any line. He could have the best table in any restaurant. He could walk into any doctor's office or lawyer's office and not be made to cool his heels in the waiting room while others went in ahead of him. If he wanted to interrogate someone, he had only to issue a summons and then sit back in his leather chair and wait for the others to come running to him. But when it came to Jesus, it was the centurion who came running. Nor does he demand anything of Jesus. He simply states his need. "Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed in terrible distress." You see, in the presence of Jesus, the centurion knows that he has no right to pull rank. He says to Jesus, "I'm a man under authority. I have soldiers under me. I can tell them to to do whatever I wish, and they will do it. What is he saying? He's saying, I recognize in you, Jesus, also a man of great authority. But whereas my authority is limited to the 100 men who are under my authority, your authority is unlimited. I recognize you, Jesus, as having power over the universe. And so he can only come in humility and state his need and await the Savior's response. And if the centurion had no right to pull rank, Jesus has no desire to pull rank. He doesn't say to the centurion, well, look, I'm busy with very important matters here right now. Leave your name and phone number and I'll get back to you just as soon as I can. He doesn't hand the centurion a form to fill out. What books have you published? What boards are you on? What's your IQ? What's your GPA? Are you a member of the Sons of the Hebrew Revolution? Or the Daughters of the Hebrew Revolution? Do you have any outstanding traffic citations or parking tickets? Are you in church every Sunday, and do you give 10% of what you earn to church and charity? Jesus doesn't ask those kinds of questions. He says quite simply, I will come and cure your servant. Dale Bruner notes that the I in that sentence, I will come, is emphasized. It's in the place of emphasis in the original Greek, as if to say, well, I don't know how others have responded to your request, but I will come. I am eager to come and cure your servant. I want to come. And then Bruner goes on to say, Jesus is extremely eager to help. The Lord we worship is almost inordinately ready to meet our needs. Do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus is eager to come to you? Or do you have a problem opposite to the great celebrities of our day? They think they can pull rank even with God. Are you afraid that you have no rank at all with God, that you are beneath His attention because of sins you may have committed, because of a background that is checkered, because your record is not all that it should be? Do you believe or imagine that God is too high and mighty to care about you? Well, then listen again to Isaiah. They shall feed along the ways, on all the bare heights shall be their pasture. They shall not hunger or thirst, neither scorching wind nor sun shall strike them down. For he who has pity on them will lead them by springs, will guide them, and I will turn all my mountains into a road, and my highways shall be raised up. This is the God who has come to us in Jesus of Nazareth. He is a God who levels the mountains of difficulty that are in our way. He is a God who paves the highways along which we must go into the new year. This is a God who says, I will come. I will come to you. I will come and cure you. And yet, for all of his eagerness to go to the centurion's home, the Roman stops him. Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only speak the word and my servant will be healed. And to that Jesus replies, truly I tell you, and no one in Israel have I found such faith. Faith. Let me point out that this is only the second time in the entire New Testament that the word faith appears. It appears first in the Sermon on the Mount, here in the Gospel of Matthew. And the second time it appears, it is applied to an alien. It is applied to a foreigner. It is applied to one who isn't even a member of the church. It is applied to one who is an enemy of God's people. And yet Jesus says, in no one in all Israel have I found such faith. What exactly was the nature of that man's faith? It wasn't an endowment he inherited from his parents. It wasn't located in some kind of religious gene, in his DNA, and some have it and some don't. It wasn't a warm, fuzzy feeling that he got in church. I certainly got a warm, fuzzy feeling listening to the chamber singers from the University of Texas, but that's not faith. The centurion's faith is simply this. He trusted in Jesus' word. You don't have to come to my home, Jesus, he said. Only speak the word, and my servant will be healed. Matthew had us in mind when he recorded this story, because Jesus is no longer bodily present in our world. He cannot come physically to our home, to our schoolroom, to our office. But he has given us his word. And faith takes him at his word. Here is a sampler of Jesus' words found in Matthew's gospel. If you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Trust his word of forgiveness. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Trust his promise to care for you. Come, you that are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Trust his pledge of eternal life. Come to me, all that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Trust him to relieve your anxieties. I am with you always to the end of the age. Trust him never to leave or forsake you. Take Jesus at his word. He will ask no questions. You must pass no tests. You need only acknowledge that you are needy, poor, ill, estranged from God. Because if Jesus reaches out to cure the servant of a foreign centurion and an enemy at that, you can be very sure Jesus will minister to you. And then, like Jesus, make service, not status, your ambition in the new year. If there is any honor you would like to achieve in 2004, let it be that you are listed not among the most famous, but among the most admired. And there is a basic difference between the two. When Time magazine selected the most famous people of the 20th century, Adolf Hitler was number 4 on the list. Famous? Yes. But famous for what? Famous for the destruction of Europe. Famous for the deaths of tens of millions of people, including 6 million Jews. There were others who put together a list of the most admired people of the 20th century, and it was a woman who topped the list. Mother Teresa. Now in the eyes of the Roman Catholic Church, Saint Teresa, who never pulled rank and who was never comfortable with her fame, and I suspect would not be comfortable with the fact that she has been elevated to sainthood. People would admire her. They would say to her, "You're such an outstanding person," and she would deflect the praise and urge people not to show her respect, but to show respect to Jesus by serving the poor and the ill and the sick and the dying. She had to be persuaded to accept the Nobel Peace Prize, and once she accepted it, she plowed all the money right back into her mission of mercy. No wonder she was the most admired person of the 20th century. She made service, not status, her goal. In the next week, there will be magazines that will list the most famous, the most powerful, the most wealthy people in the world. I'm sorry, folks, but neither you nor I are going to be listed on any of those lists. And it doesn't matter. Rank is irrelevant to the Christ who, at his last meal with his friends, left the head of the table, the place of rank, left the head of the table, picked up a bowl of water and a towel, and on his knees washed the feet of his disciples. Let the living Christ wash your feet, heal your hurts, and cleanse your sins, and then serve others as Christ has served you, and leave the scorekeeping with God. Amen.